Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I got the app alert. I got the message on our Montana Talks app Saturday night. I guess it would have been 8:43 p.m. Montana time. That's when the big app alert came in from our friend Tim in Savage out there in Mondakistan on the Montana-North Dakota border, talking about the successful strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites. Tim in Savage said this: "It was a mostly peaceful bombing. The vast majority of Iran wasn't touched." Well, that's what they said about Los Angeles anyway. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. That really sums it up, right? It was just a mostly peaceful bombing. Here's my thing. Yeah, John, normally he'll come in and join us on Tuesdays on the show, but we're bringing him in today on Monday because tomorrow I'm going to be broadcasting live from Big Sky, so definitely wanted to get the Joker in the house here. But, man, what a big news day today. What were they thinking? Iran is still talking trash. You have President Donald J. Trump, not some other president that will talk a lot of trash and never back it up. You have a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff named Raisin Kane, not some woke, lily white, you know, Darth Vader mask wearing guy in charge.
Not like, Mark Milley.
Yeah, you're Trump. Messing with Raisin Kane and Donald Trump. You really thought you could mess around.
Yeah, what's being reported, what we reported a minute ago, is now the IDF has told the residents of Tehran to evacuate. And via our friend Niz Nelly, through our other friend Raylan Gibbons, they have hit the prison. They're the prison where all these dissidents are tortured and murdered mercilessly. They've hit the IRGC headquarters, and they've got targets of weapons production centers, military bases, and security institutions affiliated with the regime that they are going to start hitting them all starting today.
See, I'm going to tell Fred up in, or I'm sorry, not Fred. I'm going to tell Frank in Malta. Well, Frank, when I sent you that promo on Friday morning after the show, I said, hey, I'm keeping Monday's show wide open because there might be some big news over the weekend. I'm going to just let Frank in Malta think that I knew about it all. And I was just holding out on him, you know. But no, here we go. Of course, I did not know about it. Talk about operational security on a remarkably successful campaign. Here is Brett Baer after the news broke over the weekend.
The U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime. The strikes were a spectacular military success.
We devastated the Iranian nuclear program.
This mission demonstrates the unmatched reach, coordination, and capability of the United States military.
Called Operation Midnight Hammer. If you look at the map, the three nuclear facilities that were targeted, Fordo, Isfahan, Natanz.
And, of course, incredible B-2 bomber campaign. Talk about that more with John Jackson, the Joker in the house. Message us on the Montana Talks app if you've got something you want to share. And we're back right after this.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John. Hey, we got to get to the big Montana news of the day as well. Yeah, you know, I was joking around, you know, about that promo I sent out to, you know, Frank in Malta and all of our radio stations across Montana. Hey, we don't know what's going to happen over the weekend, so we're not going to schedule anything really big for the show Monday. Our phone lines, by the way, if you're trying to call in on the show, we're resetting our phone system in here. So don't call in just yet. We'll let you know once those are up and running. But you can message us on the Montana Talks app in the meantime. But, yeah, John Jackson, the Joker from X in the house. The big Montana news, of course, over the weekend. On Friday afternoon, Governor Greg Gianforte, I got the email in my inbox with all of the veto letters. He broke out that big red pen and line item vetoed hundreds of millions of dollars in spending out of these spending bills and out of the budget. So that seems to be received as good news by you know, not only Senate President Matt Regeer, but I think even somewhat well received by the more moderate Republicans who supported those spending increases. So we'll get to that in a second here as well. But I mentioned that app message we got from Tim and Savage. I also got a great email from Pat in Big Timber, great guy in Big Timber. And let me pull up the audio here for a second. I was trying to get something else ready to roll here. But anyway, have you ever seen that movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, and I had it ready to go here. Ah, now I got to restart my audio files. Good night. Anyway, you know the part where they're like sword fighting? And the guy gets his arm chopped off, and he's like, "'Tis but the scratch." And then they keep sword fighting, and then he chops off his other arm, and he's like, "Ah!" You know, and then they just keep fighting. Pat was saying that that was the clip that the way Iran is responding to these successful nuke strikes and so much more, that was the clip that symbolized how Iran is responding thus far.
It's just a flesh wound. It's really? Just a simple flesh wound.
No, you know, you saw what Iran did here, and what their response to Israel and to President Trump was the result of how many years, you're talking 20, 30, 40 years of absolute weakness. And see, a smart country would have sat down and said, would have just pulled our leg, would have BS'd us and said, okay, yeah, we'll sit down and we'll agree to end this and blah, blah. And then, you know, they just do what they want. But see, because they have gotten away with outright defiance and aggression and, you know, killed our troops and done whatever they wanted around the world for decades, when they got given this ultimatum this time by the United States and Israel, they're like, you know, you're not going to do, what are you going to do about it, right? We're going to keep on doing what we want to do. And this time, the world wasn't kidding.
Yeah, this was the soundbite I was trying to play just a few minutes ago.
"'Tis but a scratch."
"A scratch? Your arm's off."
"No, it isn't."
"Well, what's that then?"
"I've heard worse."
"You liar."
"Come on, you pansy."
And then, of course, they keep going. Let me fast forward it just a little bit more, see if we get to the right part.
"You big bastard, you've got no arms left."
"Yes, I have."
"Look,
just a flesh wound."
All right, anyway, yeah, there we go. Had to play that one. Thanks to Pat and Big Timber. You know, you always got to lighten things up, even after, or maybe especially after some big news out there. The big news on the Montana front, yeah, Friday, Governor Greg Gianforte issued I guess the deadline was Friday, so he broke out the veto pen. He vetoed hundreds of millions of dollars in spending from these spending bills. And, of course, it was a handful of Republicans that voted with the Democrats on spending increase after spending increase after spending increase. And so a lot of people, but conservatives especially, were outraged with all this spending increase. And now the governor issued his line item vetoes, and it seemed to get a positive reaction from, you know, people like Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell.
Well, help me with my math here, Aaron. Okay, now, we're going to have one more session of the legislature, that would be in 2027, with what we know will be a Republican governor, all right? After that, you know, it's all unknown. So what you guys need to do in the next 2 years is get in whatever room you have to get into, gather the people that run this place, and figure out how you're going to deal with this rebellion that you have inside your tent and put down this rebellion. Let's try that next time to have our last session here to be a productive one.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why I wanted the governor's tax relief package to get passed, and to get passed much earlier on, is because even though we know that when you cut taxes, it ends up bringing in more revenue in the long run because it helps the economy, and so tax cuts actually bring in more revenue. When it comes to the budget and the amount of spending, they have to consider the tax cuts as though it were spending. So the size of the tax cut takes away how much money of ours they have to spend and to play with. So the bigger you make that tax relief, the less they can spend of your money, because they have to balance the budget, so they have to figure that into the equation. And so, like, I think that's the poke in the eye that so many people saw, is that every time they were spending more and spending more and spending more,
That could have been more tax relief for us. It could have been more property tax relief. It could have been, hey, let's stop taxing Social Security benefits in Montana, like so many other states don't tax Social Security benefits. And so it was just this extra poke in the eye of they're just spending more and more of our money, and we're getting less of it back.
Dirty little secret out here. I've said it on your program a couple of times, but it bears repeating. What everybody needs to understand that right now you're looking at probably 80% of your elected Republicans out there, that's federal, state, wherever they are, they want to spend your tax money just like Democrats do. They want to keep spending and taxing you. They are addicted.
You think 80%?
Oh, easy. Yeah,
but in the Montana legislature, those numbers were more reversed. It was a handful of Republicans that were doing the big spending, and the rest of the caucus was voting against it. So I guess I would disagree with you. I would disagree with the gentleman's perspective on this.
2 years ago, with that surplus, they spent 2/3 of it.
Hold that thought.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Operation Midnight Hammer. John and I were both thinking the same thing over the weekend. I was like, man, did they get the woke white liberal guy from San Francisco? Did they free fall parachute the guy into Iran with his tidy whities on and a hammer and a Black Lives Matter flag? Was that the key success of this operation when it was Midnight Hammer, the guy that attacked Paul Pelosi?
Well, you had to differentiate between Midnight Hammer and Midnight Habitat. There's two different ones, but somewhere
two different operations.
Yeah, two different operations, but somewhere Saturday, wherever Paulie P there was, Paulie Pelosi, he kind of had a tweak when he heard that come over, because you know that he still hasn't fully recovered from that hammer to the head.
By the way, you were telling me the guy that attacked the woke white liberal guy with the rainbow flag that attacked Paul Pelosi, Congresswoman Pelosi's husband, with the hammer. Did you tell me he got life in prison?
Life without parole.
Without parole.
Yep.
In San Francisco, California.
In California. Do you know what it takes to get life without parole? You've got these people that maybe have committed 2 or 3 murders or something like that. They get life without parole. If that was me or you that got hit in the hammer by some a-hole like that out in California, that guy would have been let out, first of all.
He would have been back out on the streets the next day.
He might have come back and got 6 months. But it's almost like there's a two-tier justice system.
Almost as if. All right. Well, John, so here were the reactions. So Friday afternoon, I was hanging out with some friends, and then, of course, I see this big email from the governor's office in my inbox. I was like, okay, I better take a break from whatever conversations I'm having with friends here and read this, because we've all been waiting to see if and how much the governor would line item veto out of these spending bills in the legislature. So let me go. I started just, we weren't live on the radio Friday afternoon, so I just started posting on X. So I said, Governor Gianforte issuing some line item vetoes with hundreds of millions in spending cuts. This was the reaction I got from Republican Senate President Matt Regeer. He said, quote, "It is great to watch as a conservative and as a taxpayer the governor start to right side the overinflated Lou Jones and Democrat passed budget. Hopefully this will change some moderate and liberal mindsets going into the next session." So that was the reaction from Senate President Matt Regeer. So that, to me, that was a positive reaction. He was pleased to see the governor veto hundreds of millions in spending. But then, because he called out Lou Jones in particular, one of the moderate Republicans who supported these spending bills, I wanted to reach out to Lou and get his take as well. And so Lou Jones had this reaction. It's a little bit longer. Let me scroll up to it here. He says, "While I was disappointed by some line item vetoes, I understand the need to maintain structural balance." And then he talked about how Montana is tied in with the federal tax structure. So whatever tax relief comes at the federal level will also translate at the state level here in Montana. So he talked about how, combined with nearly $600 million in income tax cuts we made in the 2025 session and the $300 million linked to property tax, plus some other cuts, there is over $1 billion in total tax relief Thus, we must be cautious. He said, quote, tax cuts are very good news for taxpayers, but we need to ensure that we can still fund critical services. I support disciplined spending to keep Montana fiscally strong. Given this, I understand and support most of the line items. So I thought it was interesting to me, the 30,000 foot sitting in the B-2 bomber view of the world, is that both of them seem to basically, you know, have positive things to say about the governor's line item veto. So I thought that was pretty interesting because Regeer, of course, comes from the more conservative, wing of the caucus, or you could argue the majority of the caucus, and Lou Jones comes from the more moderate wing of the caucus.
Well, the thing I keyed off on there was critical services. And we said this a bunch on your show. What federal, state, whatever they are, county governments, whatever they are, what you should be funding and spending our tax money on are the basic functions that are listed in the Constitution. Like, what's in the Constitution? They talk about levying the tax, the border, the military, right? I don't know if there's anything else they mention in there. That's kind of what, like, say...
That's at the federal level, of course. Yeah.
They're like the state of Montana. Infrastructure, law enforcement. I mean, anything, nothing else. Name me something
in
else.
Education, yeah.
No, not even that. No, I mean, I would say not
state,
even that.
From a state perspective, right? Yeah.
I mean, everything else should be handled by the private sector, right? Just like they're getting rid of the Department of Education at the federal level. The government screws up everything they're involved in. If government ran McDonald's, you'd pay $20 for a quarter pounder that you would wait an hour to get and would taste like crap.
It wouldn't even be real beef.
Oh, no.
If
no.
they were in charge of it. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the other interesting angle to this is that, so you heard one of the things, what Lou Jones said there right out the, well, what he said right out the gates there. He says, while I was disappointed by some line item vetoes, I understand the need to maintain structural balance. So the Freedom Caucus members of the legislature, I think I saw State Senator Barry Usher out of Billings was one of the first to kind of seize on that. He said, wait a minute, if the budget was already balanced, because they argued that the budget was balanced even with these spending increases, if the budget was already balanced, then why did the governor have to veto some of this spending if the budget was already balanced? So that was kind of the touche from the Freedom Caucus side of the house. But then Lou Jones also kind of fired back at them and made the point that, well, some of this spending that the governor vetoed, some of the specific spending bills that he vetoed, was spending that some of the more conservative members of the legislature actually voted for. So he kind of fired back at them on that one as well.
Well, there you go. It really all comes down to, I've said this before on your show, I'm a fiscal conservative absolutist. There are certain things that they should be spending that money on and nothing else. That's what's wrong with our government at every level, federal, state, local, you name it. They are just running wild with it. What do you think if our founders were alive today, Aaron? You know where they would be? They would be on a compound here in Montana preaching revolution, those people. Right, they stage a revolution over just a little bitty tax they didn't like. What would they make of today? They would be outraged.
John in Kalispell, I just checked our Montana Talks app messages. John in Kalispell raised a similar question you just pointed out, which is define critical services.
Yep.
That's a really good point. What are critical services here? Because there was a lot of that spending that was definitely not critical services. And folks, hey, I apologize. We're not able to take your phone calls right now. We're getting some new phone software here eventually. So our old system that we have been using needed a little bit of a downtime, needed a little nap time, you know, need a little timeout. Does somebody need a timeout? Yeah, our phone system apparently needs a timeout. So
it's so funny to watch, you know, remember the last time I was sitting.
Daddy still loves you. Daddy still loves you.
The last time I was in there sitting in for you, remember they had a just major meltdown of the system?
Oh, yeah. I was in plenty where I didn't like, couldn't get, Microsoft did some stupid update and it was like everything I had used 2 weeks earlier didn't work. It was like, but I was in Plentywood and we had some good food up there. So,
every time I come back from a commercial break, they're like, it's going to work now. And they hit the button and guru.
they're like pointing at me, talk. See, you could be the communications director for the Ayatollah right now. It's like, nothing is working, but just say something. May say something.
All's
right
well. Nothing to see here. Please, move
merely
on.
A flesh wound. Merely a flesh wound. Hey, back to the Iran story here. Did you see Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, on CBS's Face the Nation?
Yep.
Man, I mean, she was trying to pretend to be the Secretary of State, and it did not work out well for her, did it?
Oh, Marge Brennan there. Marco Rubio has turned out to be what I call the sleeper star of this administration. You know, he was kind of seen as a moderate, and, you know, people had kind of grown unhappy with him over the years. But he got out of the Senate and is now Secretary of State. I think he took off that hat, you know, that they were all wearing, you know, all hail plankton. And he took off that hat, so he doesn't have to say all hail plankton anymore. And so now he has become the star, and he just put it to Margaret Brennan the other day with a beautiful, he's also challenging not only her premise, but that she has any expertise to talk about this at all. It was beautiful.
Yeah, by the way, before I put this in the recycling bin, I had this information in Friday's stack of stuff. Report, Iran killed 600 U.S. soldiers in the Iraq War. Three charged in Iran-linked murder plots, with one targeting Donald Trump as revenge for killing Qasem Soleimani. Another news headline, Iran has attacked U.S. troops 83 times since Biden became president. And then, of course, Beirut Marines reflect on death of Hezbollah leader who planned 1983 attack. Yeah, would you got something you want to say? Go ahead.
Of those 600 actually killed, how many more were maimed for life, arms and legs blown off? I mean, God knows how many thousands.
That's right. Yeah, we'll talk more about that here coming up after the break. But here's a little bit of that back and forth between Secretary of State Rubio and Margaret Brennan on CBS. This comes from Rapid Response 47 on X.
Are you saying there that the United States did not see intelligence that the Supreme Leader had ordered weaponization?
That's irrelevant. I see that question being asked in the media. That's an irrelevant question.
No,
they
that is the key
to
point in U.S. intelligence assessments. You know
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was.
No, it's
that
not.
The political
no,
decision
no,
had
well,
not
I know
been
that better
made.
Than you know that, and I know that that's not the case.
But
you
I'm
know,
asking
you know,
whether
you know
the order was
about.
Given.
And the people who say that, it doesn't matter if the order was given. They have everything they need to build nuclear weapons. Why would you bury things in a mountain 300 feet under the ground?
Right.
Why would you bury six? Why do they have 60% enriched uranium? You don't need 60% enriched uranium. The only countries in the world that have uranium at 60% are countries that have nuclear weapons, because
right.
they can quickly make it 90. They have all the elements. They have. Why do they have a space program? Is Iran?
Anyway, when she says, well, that is the key assessment from these intelligence. Oh yeah, like you know that, Margaret, as CBS talking head.
She's reading her talking point from Media Matters and Chuck Schumer there in front of her. She has no idea what she's talking about. And Marco just reached up and slapped her right in the face.
Yeah, Marco, like, flew over like a B-2 bomber and just dropped it.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Friday, USDA released the cattle on feed report showing on feed numbers were 1% below last year at 11.4 million head. Placements were down 8%, while marketings were down 10%. Oklahoma State University ag economist Dr. Daryl Peel explains that feedlots have managed to maintain inventory by slowing turnover and feeding more heifers, but that strategy only works for so long. Once the system fully slows down and fewer heifers are available, the underlying supply shortage will become much more apparent.
I still think that we're going to see a significant decrease in these feedlot inventories. Part of the industry maybe has focused on those feedlot inventories and really doesn't appreciate the fact that underneath that, there's an increasingly hollow supply of feeder cattle in the country. We're sort of emptying it out and masking it. And when it becomes apparent just how empty that feeder supply is, then I think we're really going to see a lot of squeeze in these markets. That it's there. It's there in the record prices that we have today. But it's going to become more obvious and more pronounced as we go forward.
As feeder cattle supplies continue to shrink, the true extent of the supply shortage will become more visible, likely leading to further market pressure and stronger prices. Check out the Lanecast Ag Podcast wherever you listen and watch podcasts to hear the full conversation with Dr. Peel. I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house here on this Tuesday or Monday morning. Normally he's with us on Tuesday. He'll be in tomorrow a little bit, too. So I'm going to be broadcasting live from Big Sky with some great guests covering some big issues. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. But, yeah, message us on the Montana Talks app if you want to jump in on the conversation. Or, heck, shoot John a note on X at PVT Joker US, at Private Joker US. That's John on X. You can, I may not see it because I'm too busy yapping. But if you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, I'll try to check in there as well. But the easiest way to get us a message is through the Montana Talks app. Because, yeah, right now we are getting some new phone software. So that's the best way to jump in on the conversation today. John, one guy that I was almost going to try to get him on the show with us today. So Saturday morning, I'm walking the dog. And I turned on Fox and Friends just to listen to the news while I was walking the dog before heading to the gym. And I hear them talking about, they were talking about potential bunker buster bombs and what could take place in Iran. You know, this was all pre-strike, of course. And they were interviewing, or they were talking with a Top Gun flight instructor by the name of Dave Burke. And I was like, wait a minute. We had a Top Gun flight instructor who was our Anglico team leader when I was in Ramadi, Iraq. He'd roll out with us every day. I had two Humvees, and we'd sandwich his Humvee right in the middle of our two Humvees, and he could talk to the F-18 flying above us, and that's the same guy. So that was pretty cool. So I was going to see if he could call in today, but maybe I'll get him on later in the week. So anyway, that'll be cool if we get him on later in the week.
Oh, yeah. Now, what he would talk to the air support above you just because he spoke their language or what?
Yes. So, you know, like, okay, so you were in Afghanistan and you'd roll out probably with different guys, different units, right? So you'd probably have like a JTAC that would be with you, right?
Yep.
So JTAC would be like, or a JTAC trained Army Special Forces guy, or an Air Force JTAC, incredible. Actually, Brad at Brett's RV and Marine in Butte, Brad at Brett's was an Air Force JTAC guy. He's about 6'5". He was Army Ranger trained Air Force guy. But the JTAC could literally talk to the bird. So he was a fighter pilot himself who had been an instructor at Top Gun. And then he was on the ground with us in Ramadi riding around in a Humvee, helping coordinate air support for us, and he could talk directly to the F-18 ahead. When I got the chance to fly with the U.S. Navy Blue Angels during the 2023 Yellowstone Air Show, I was talking with the pilots about that, about how remarkable it was to be up in an F-18 and then to think about what it was like being on the ground back in Ramadi in 05-06. And I think I might have even mentioned then Major Burke, who would roll around with us on some, and we had a couple of crazy missions while he was out with us too. So
I was embedded with the Brits over there in Afghanistan, the Brit Special Forces guys. And one of our guys, do you remember one of the last places to fall in the initial incursion into Afghanistan was this prison up in northern Afghanistan? It was one of the last places to go. Well, this guy that was on the Brit team there, he called up their position, actually the position they were at, up to the air support. Well, it got all messed up, and they dropped bombs on his position, and he was blown off the wall there of the prison, hurt really bad, lost hearing in one ear forever. Another guy was killed, and they changed British Special Forces operating procedure after that, in which they will never, no matter what, they're never broadcasting their actual position up to those people up in the sky, because they were never going to have something like that happen again.
Interesting. Well, one guy that I did get a chance to catch up with earlier this morning, this was somebody else I thought of after the, you know, so Saturday night, the news breaks. Actually, it was interesting. So earlier this morning, I caught up with Mike Waters. You know Mike. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. He's also a Yellowstone County Commissioner. And so Yellowstone County Commissioner Mike Waters, well, you'll hear more about his background. So Saturday night, I said, where were you Saturday night when the news broke? Because I was sitting with family in Missoula, and all of a sudden we're like turning on the news to watch, you know, President Trump speaking live. He was at these boxing matches in Billings, and all of a sudden he gets a text from somebody, hey, are you seeing what's going on? And boom, Well, anyway, I asked retired Lieutenant Colonel Mike Waters, you know, what it was like from him being a bomber pilot and what it takes to train for these kind of missions and everything. And here's part of what Mike Waters had to say about just this operation on Saturday night.
It was an impressive operation. What impressed me the most was just the operational security, how quiet they kept it, and the deception of having the B-2s launching a couple to go west over the Pacific to draw some attention away. And then I think just the precise planning that goes into that, and I got to experience that of you know, that air bridge getting you overseas with all the tankers, and then quietly joining up with their strike package, other you know, fifth generation fighters that did the offensive counter-air, the suppression of any air defense capabilities that were part of the B-2 package. And then, of course, the precision of which just dropping the ordnance and making sure that massive bunker buster bomb was delivered on time, on target, which is always a motto of the bomber force.
Now, for some reason, that audio is coming in really, it was a lot, it wasn't as good as our audio typically is, even when we're, you know, re-airing some audio, so I apologize about that. I'll see if I can use a different version of that. But, yeah, but Mike Waters was one of the first bombers to fly over Afghanistan following the 9/11 terror attacks. He was in the B-1 then. Talking about the B-2 now.
Imagine, I would just go ahead and put a, you know, a high probability on the fact that this probably started a couple of months ago when, between Trump and Netanyahu, they gave that regime over there 60 days to come to the table and negotiate. So they probably started planning all this then. Now, that is a short window, Aaron. I mean, a couple of months here to plan something this complex is amazing. And what I made the comment yesterday on our spaces was, you see what the U.S. government can do when it wants to do it. Okay, so we are demanding this same kind of action out of our DOJ and our FBI right now. Okay, we don't want to hear about ongoing investigations and, you know, next year this time we'll still not have anybody arrested and Antifa will still be roaming the countryside. No. We want the bad guys taken down, and we want them taken down fast.
Well, and that's the question. This was kind of a question I partly asked this question of Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana. He grew up in Tehran. He grew up in Iran. And so we didn't get into too much of the, well, what next if A, B, C, and D happens. But the question is okay, let's go with the assumption that the Ayatollah has been so severely weakened right now. So the question is, what about the sleeper cells? What about all of the illegal aliens from Iran that walked into this country illegally and then were allowed to stay in this country and go all over the country under the previous Joe Biden, John Tester regime? Now, I wonder, like, okay, if the regime in Tehran is so severely weakened and embarrassed right now, maybe Daddy Warbucks is gone and then those sleeper cells dissipate. But I think the fact is like, even Biden's FBI director said there were threats everywhere, like never seen before. There were blinking lights everywhere. So we know that Joe Biden allowed a ton of threats inside this country. And regardless of what happened over the weekend or not, that they're going to try something. They were already going to try something. So it wouldn't surprise us if they try something now. Especially when we know just how many illegals from Iran were allowed into the country in the last 4 years.
Customs and Border Protection sources tell Fox News nearly half of the Iranian nationals who crossed the border illegally during the Biden administration were released into the U.S. Border Patrol arrested 1,504 Iranian nationals at our southern border from fiscal year 2021 through 2024. 729 of them were released into the U.S. The Iranians are considered special interest aliens due to national security concerns and are supposed to receive enhanced vetting by DHS. Now, officials are worried about an Iranian threat to the homeland. Homeland Security sent out a bulletin warning of a heightened threat environment and low-level cyber attacks.
Now they're concerned. We done been concerned about the Iranian threat to the homeland. We've been talking about that for the last four freaking years, which is why these liberal judges that are trying to put a halt to President Trump's deportation plans need to be put in their place.
That's 1,500 of them that they apprehended, right? Imagine a ship going through the vastness of the ocean dragging a net. That's how the percentage of people they caught. I bet you 10,000 of them are in here, and 10,000, because the ones that knew that they're on the blacklist or that they're coming in with a terrorist mission, they avoid the Border Patrol. They're not going to get caught.
Exactly. Not to mention the nexus between socialist Venezuela and Iran and Trinidad and Tobago and so much more. Flat.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There was a tweet that I sent out earlier this morning. She said it so well. Let me scroll up and find it once again. Okay, here we go. Liz Wheeler. Oh, yeah, we've had Liz Wheeler on the show before. She's got her own podcast. Anyway, Liz Wheeler said this. Somehow, I don't think General Kane is spending his time reading White Fragility. you remember all these woke generals and admirals that were reading all these anti-American critical race theory books? And she's like, you know, somehow I don't think that General Kane is reading a book called White Fragility. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that still bothers a lot of us out here. Now we've got that guy, you know, Charlie Brown, he's a clown, you know, he got thrown out. But you know how this works, Aaron. You know this works this way in every agency. It works in the military and law enforcement everywhere. See, Milley got up there in the top spot, and what did he do? Everybody that got their star or got their, you know, got up in the ranks under him, everybody that got colonel for a board colonel, they were a member of his squad, right? They were all like-minded people, you guarantee it.
Or they had to play the game. Yeah.
So we haven't
seen.
Some of
them wanted to play the game. The others just had to play the game, yeah.
We haven't seen this mass purge of these Biden-era goofs out of the DOD, the DOJ, the FBI yet. And we know you're never going to be able to really enact your agenda as long as those people are still sitting there.
That's why I love the fact that we have, you know, people like Tim Sheehy in the U.S. Senate right now, and guys like Ryan Zinke in the House, because especially Tim Sheehy, because he was, you know, within the last 10 years, well, 12 years now, I guess it would be 12, 13 years ago. So he was operational. So a lot of the guys he was serving with on SEAL teams or out with Army Special Forces or whatever, some of these guys are still in. And so they know who the real deals are, and they know who the phonies are. They know who the wokes are. They know who the unwokes are, the ones that are just war fighters ready to fight for this country. And so I'm just assuming that Senator Sheehy has access to good intelligence to, you know, how to make our military great again.
Well, see, the problem with it is here we are, it's coming into July. And we haven't seen these purges. And see, those top ranks, you can fire those people without cause. You're out. You serve. They serve at the pleasure. You're out. It's same way with FBI, DOJ, all these people. And the fact that you haven't seen it now kind of tells you you're not going to see it.
Well, I think you referenced the purge already, Milley, CQ Brown. I mean, there were people kicking and screaming when Raising Cane was raised up to be the CJCS, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, right? So, and I think given this effective operation we saw over the weekend, I think we're so thankful that so many people, they put up with the BS, they tolerated the nonsense, they tolerated all this stupid BS with the mandates, and they stayed in because of all the great patriots and all the great men and women in our military, you know, left, like, where would we be capability-wise? And we demonstrated incredible capability over the weekend. Here is Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth and part of what he had to say in that Sunday morning press conference.
I want to recognize the pilots who flew those bombers, who flew those fighters, who flew those refuelers, warriors. I want to recognize the sailors on those destroyers, in those subs, on those carriers, warriors, all of them. I want to recognize our soldiers doing air defense, base defense, QRF, warriors, all of them. Every American involved in this operation performed flawlessly.
All right, there you go. And I like that soundbite in particular, John, because, you know, I was talking with Mike Waters earlier, and I'll get the full audio on our Montana Talks website later. It's a little fuzzier. I'd play more of it for you right now. But I asked him, you know, just how proud he is as a bomber pilot veteran from the Air Force to see the next generation of bomber pilots and what they just accomplished in world history really over the weekend, and how proud he was as a bomber pilot veteran on that standpoint. But, you know, every single one of these young men and women who were involved in every step of this operation, whether from the ground, from the sea, from the air, the refuelers, everybody, I mean, they all were probably just, are even still right now looking back on the sand, wow, look at what we were a part of.
And the next step is, you're hearing for now 24, 48 hours about Iran's going to retaliate. And see, that's another thing they have gotten away with for years, is attacking our bases with almost no response. And what President Trump and the U.S. military have to do right now in these next, however long it's going to be, any strike. I mean, if a rock comes over the wall of one of our bases, that needs to get met with, just brutal, overwhelming force with extreme prejudice until they figure out we're not putting up with this. You remember Biden? How many dozens of attacks on our bases? He did absolutely nothing. So now they think they can get away with it.
Exactly. Let's see. I just got an email from Jason. Jason says, please explain by what authority does President Trump attack Iran? Here is UC Berkeley law professor John Yoo. He was on with Mark Levin over the weekend.
When the Constitution was first introduced in the Philadelphia Convention, the Constitution originally had said Congress has the power to make war. And that was changed to declare war because people thought that gave Congress too much authority. And I even point you to something else Madison said. In the Virginia Ratifying Convention, which was the key convention to approve the Constitution, Patrick Henry actually got up and said, he might have been the Bernie Sanders or AOC of his day, and he said, I'm worried about the president going off on military ventures. How are you going to stop him? James Madison doesn't get up and say the declare war clause will stop the president. Instead, he says Congress will have to cut off funds because the power of the purse is the ultimate check of the people.
Anyway, so by what authority? The United States.